Imagine if on the way into church this morning, I gave each of you a piece of paper and a pencil, and I asked you to draw me a picture of God. I wonder what you would do. Maybe some people would get scribbling right away. Some people love drawing, don't they? I imagine some people would relish the challenge. But I suspect most of us would struggle to know where to begin. You could try drawing Jesus. We don't know what Jesus looked like. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we might have some idea from pictures we've seen in art books or kids' Bibles. So you could try drawing a person, Jesus. But that's not quite the same as drawing God, is it? Jesus is God. Jesus is God the Son. But there's also God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, you might know. And it's one of the hardest things for us to get our heads around, that the Bible says there is one God in three persons. It's an idea we call the Trinity. So how do you draw that? God the Father, well, maybe that name conjures up some ideas for you, pictures in your mind. But God the Spirit? I don't know, maybe you try to draw some kind of triangle thing. The problem is there aren't pictures in the Bible. Or perhaps it's more accurate to say the only pictures we have in the Bible are word pictures. God has revealed himself to us so that we can know what he's like, but he hasn't told us what he looks like. Instead, he's chosen to use words. The Bible is God's word. Well, okay, you might be thinking, this is all well and good, Dim, but we're a couple of minutes into the sermon and I still don't really know what you're getting at. Fair enough. Here's what I'm getting at. Whether this is the first time you've ever been to church or you're here every week, whether you grew up in a house where you heard about God all the time, or whether you've only recently started getting to know him, whether you're young or you're old, whether you like drawing or you hate drawing, whether you'd call yourself a Christian this morning or not, in your mind, you have a picture of God. In your mind, you have an idea of who he is and what he's like. And your picture may be wrong. Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7 are a sermon that Jesus preached about 2,000 years ago. And Jesus preached this sermon to a group of people who knew all about God. They'd grown up in a world full of gods. They were a group of people who would have been taught about God from the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, for as far back as they could remember. And they had a picture of who God is and what he's like, and they'd been given that picture from their religious leaders. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12, the passage we're looking at this morning, Jesus said they'd got it wrong. And more importantly, in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12, Jesus says the reality is much, much more wonderful. So let's pray and ask God to help us understand his word this morning and get a better picture of what God is like. Let me pray for us as we start. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can get to know you because you've revealed yourself to us in your words. Thank you so much that we can get to know you because you sent your son Jesus to come and reveal the truth to us. Help us hear what he has to say to us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I hope you've still got it open in front of you. It says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. My primary school headmaster was called Mr. Kennedy. parents loved him. Kids were terrified of him. And if you wanted to talk to Mr. Kennedy, well, you probably didn't want to talk to Mr. Kennedy, but if you had to, there was a system. His door was always closed. So when you arrived at his office, you had to knock and then wait. And above his door, there were three lights. If the green one came, well, you can see where this is going. If the green one came on, you could go in. If the orange one came on, you had to stand there and wait. And if the red one came on, you had to go away. And friends, if you've got a Mr. Kennedy kind of view of God, then Jesus says, you've got it wrong. If you think there are times when God is too busy for you, and doesn't want to be interrupted, and doesn't care, and tells you to go away, you've got it wrong, Jesus says. Look at verse 7 again. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. 2,000 years ago, the religious leaders had the idea that if you wanted God to hear you, and if you wanted God to listen to you, and if you wanted God to bless you, you had to earn it. You had to dust yourself off and sort yourself out and mind your manners. You had to be good enough for God to earn an audience with him. And what does Jesus say? Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. The first thing that Jesus wants us to know is that our Father in heaven is a Father who loves to be asked and who loves to give. God is not a miser counting out beans of blessing with a scowl on his face. God is not a tease playing hide and seek, hoping that we can't catch him. God is not a CEO who's far too busy with more important issues to care about what's going on in your life or in mine. No, he's our Father. And he is a Father who loves to be asked, who is never bothered by us, and who is never too busy for us. A Father who loves to give. Is that your view of God? Because if it's not, you've got the wrong idea, Jesus says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. But friends, if we're honest, don't we read that or hear that? And a part of us says, really? Really, Dim? Is God really like that? Because I ask for things from God all the time and I'm not given them. And I cry out to him for answers and meaning and understanding and I don't find it. And sometimes it feels like I knock and I knock and I knock. And all I ever get from God is the red light that tells me to go away. Is God really a Father who loves to be asked and who loves to give? Yes. He is, Jesus says. But we need to remember that he is also a Father who is perfect. Look at verse 9. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your father, how much more will your father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" I was reading this again this morning in my office, as it happens. And no, I'm not making this up. As I was reading this verse, my son Theo knocks on the door. He comes in, he says, "Dad, can I have breakfast?" And I said, "No, you can have a snake." And he was like, "What is going on?" I said, "I've just read it in the Bible." Anyway, it's not hard to understand Jesus' point, is it? If you come home from school and you say, "Mom, I'm hungry. Is there anything to eat?" Your mum or your dad or your grown-up, they're not going to give you a rock to chew on, are they? They're not going to give you a snake to munch. They'll give you a sandwich or a snack or something. Because they love you. And they know how to care for you. So how much more, Jesus says, how much more do you think the God who made our world and who gave you life, your heavenly Father, how much more do you think he will love you and care for you? Now, friends, at this point, I think we just need to take a step to the side and say two things really quickly. The first is that some of us very sadly grew up in homes where grown-ups didn't care for us. Our world is broken. God's design is for children to be brought up in families where a mum and a dad are committed to one another and committed to their children. But tragically, and far too often, that is not the case. Some of us had fathers who were not good fathers. And some of us grew up without fathers at all. And friend, let me say, if that has been your experience, I am so sorry. But Jesus is not saying that your heavenly Father is like your earthly father. No, his whole point is that your heavenly Father is so much better. And in every way that your earthly father failed you, your heavenly Father never will. He loves you and will care for you perfectly. Which leads me on to speak to those of us who are fathers. You see, when our children come to us and they say to us, "Dad, I'm hungry. Is there anything to eat?" That one's an easy one, right? We know what to do. We can fix that one. But you know, and I know, that sometimes they come to us and we can't help. Sometimes they come to us and they say, "I'm sick," or "I'm scared," or "I've been sinned against." And there's nothing we can do. And it's not because we don't love them, and it's not because we don't care, but there are things we can't do because we are limited. And we're weak. There are some things, aren't there, dads, that we can't fix. But friends, our Heavenly Father has no limits. There is nothing he can't do. So if you're a dad and you are confronted by your own weakness and your limitations and your sin, friend, don't think your Heavenly Father is like that. He is not. He is perfect. That's Jesus's point. He's not saying that our Heavenly Father is like our earthly fathers. No, he's saying our Heavenly Father is wonderfully and incredibly and perfectly different. God is the Father who loves to be asked and he loves to give, and he is perfect. And that explains why sometimes we ask for things and we don't. He doesn't give them to us. It's why sometimes we cry out to him for answers and explanations and he doesn't give them to us. It even explains why sometimes it feels like we knock and knock and knock on his door in our prayers and only ever get the red light. It's not because he's too busy or isn't interested or doesn't care. It's because he's perfect. And he knows perfectly what we don't know. And he sees perfectly what we can't see. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And his desire for us is not our instant satisfaction or happiness. No, he has a greater desire for us than that. He wants to give us life in him to the full. Just think about that scene again when your child comes home and says, I'm hungry, is there anything to eat? We don't give them a stone and we don't give them a snake. But we also don't give them a bag of sweets and a chocolate bar and an ice cream every time they ask. You might sometimes, as a treat. It's a pleasure when you do to be able to spoil your kids. But if you did that every day, would you be a good parent? Of course not. It may be what they want. It may make them happy for a while. But we don't always give our kids what they want because we want them to have something better. Life. And teeth. And health. And the ability to make good choices. And sometimes they may not understand that. And sometimes they won't. And sometimes you may make them a sandwich and tell them to eat a sandwich, even though they know there is a tin full of biscuits right there. And they don't understand.
I read on the news this week that apparently Elon Musk is about to become the world's first trillionaire, which means he could spend $1 million every day and it would take him 2,740 years to run out. Now imagine if you were Elon Musk's son or daughter and he said to you, ask and it will be given to you. He could buy you anything. But not happiness. And not contentment. And not meaning. And not purpose. And not hope. And not joy. And not life. And if Elon Musk was your dad and he said to you, ask and it will be given to you, and he gave you everything you asked for whenever you asked, what kind of person do you think you would become? Friends, Elon Musk's wealth is nothing compared to our Father's. Our God in heaven loves to be asked and he loves to give, but he is also our Heavenly Father who is perfect. Not only is his wealth limitless, but his love for you is limitless. And his knowledge of you and his understanding of you and is limitless. He knows what you need. He doesn't want to just give you stuff. He wants to give you life and happiness and contentment and meaning and purpose and hope and joy. And that means sometimes he does give us what we don't understand. And he doesn't give us what we think is best. And sometimes we wonder, why is he giving us a sandwich when I know the biscuit tin is right there? And we don't know. But we can trust him. And we can even thank him. Because if he gave us everything we ask for, with our lack of knowledge and lack of understanding and lack of love, we would miss out.
And it would not be what is best for us. It would be a disaster. A disaster for us and for everyone around us. Why would God give us what we ask for when he can give us something so much better? Our Heavenly Father is perfect. Friends, is that your view of God? Is that the picture that you have of him, the idea that comes to your mind when you think of God? Because that's the reality. He is a father who loves to be asked and a father who loves to give and a father who is perfect. If that's not your view of God, then you have got the wrong idea, Jesus says. But if you've got the right idea of God, I think that's going to mean three things, and we're going to finish with them. The first is this. We will come constantly and joyfully to him. Our world prizes independence, doesn't it? That first time you go out for dinner with mum and dad and you pay the bill, that's a sign of your maturity, of your achievement. But it's not like that with God, friends. Not coming to your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, every day for his help is not a sign of maturity or understanding. It is a sign of foolishness and ignorance. Foolishness because we think that we can do anything of any value without God. And ignorance because we've forgotten that God loves it when we come to him. He's never too busy. He's never got more important things on. He never doesn't care. He loves to be asked and he loves to give. Friend, maybe you've grown up with a different picture of God, but this is the reality. So talk to him. Talk to God at the start of your day about everything that you know that is coming up. Talk to God as you go through your day. About all the things that you didn't know were coming up. And talk to God at the end of the day and look back and thank him. Talk to God about what you see and how you feel and what you hear. Come to him constantly and joyfully about everything going on in your life. Ask him for things. Ask him for everything. Because he's your Heavenly Father who loves to be asked and who loves to give. But secondly, when you come to him expectantly and humbly. Because yes, God loves to give. So pray big prayers. You can never ask too much. But always remember that he will give you more than what you ask for. He will give you what is best. You know when Christians pray and they say, "Your will be done"? It's not good manners. It's good theology. It's not like signing a letter, "Yours sincerely." You know, finish a prayer, "Your will be done." It's not just what we do, it's what we believe. It's recognizing that our Heavenly Father is perfect in love and knowledge and understanding, and we are not. So what we want more than what we want is what God wants for us. We ask big prayers and we trust him with the answers. If we have the right view of God, friends, I think we're going to be people who ask and who seek and who knock constantly and joyfully and expectantly and humbly. But that's not all. Look at verse 12. Jesus says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Now, how does that link in with what comes before? Well, I think it's this. I think it's that the more we get to know God and the more we see how much he loves us and blesses us and cares for us, that won't just change our relationship with him, it'll change our relationship with other people as well, because we'll want to imitate him. We'll want to treat one another the way that we've been treated by God. We'll look for ways to bring happiness and contentment and joy and hope and peace and life to other people, because that's what God has done for us, and we know how wonderful that is. We've run out of time. So let me ask you, friends. Is the picture you have of God in your mind the same picture that Jesus has painted for us this morning? If it's not, you've got it wrong. But the reality is so much more wonderful. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we don't have to guess what you're like. You've revealed yourself to us. And yet so often our image of you, our idea of you, our picture of you is not based on what you've revealed to us. It's based on what the world says around us, or what the devil lies into our ears. He doesn't really love you. He doesn't really care. But it's not true. It's never been true. And it isn't true today. Thank you that you are the God who loves to hear us and who loves to give. Thank you that you are the God who answers our prayers perfectly. Help us, we pray, to come to you constantly and joyfully and expectantly. And humbly, help us to enjoy that relationship with you. And would our relationship with you change our relationship with one another? Transform our hearts through your word, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.